every believer in Jesus, every follower of Jesus is called to ministry. You and I, we all called to ministry. You might not know what your ministry is, but all of us, every follower of Jesus is called to service. There are different kinds of ministry, but every one of us, every follower of Jesus globally is called to ministry. Now, the word ministry, it's the same word for service. So in other words, I can say every one of you is called to serve God in a capacity. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord the Bible talks about. The word ministry in the Greek is diakonia, which you get the word deacons. Diakonia is ministry or service. So the one who ministers, the one who does ministry is called a minister or a servant. So all of us are called to serve God in this world. In other words, you do have a ministry and you might not know what that ministry is. Ministry, every ministry is different, but nonetheless, all of us being called to it, to serve the Lord. Now, let me ask you, have you ever wondered what Jesus' ministry was all about? I mean, we talk a lot about Jesus in church, don't we? Have you ever wondered what his ministry, when he came to earth, you know, those 33 years that he lived with the apostles, and in 3 years, he dedicated his life to ministry, to service. Have you ever wondered what his ministry was all about? Now, the gospel writers, they paint a vivid picture of what Jesus came to do. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there you come across like, this is what Jesus was doing. Now I understand what his ministry was all about. Now, I would like us to take a short journey looking at the ministry of Jesus, because that way we can learn about our own ministry and also the ministry of the church. But, you know, in case that you never, and this sermon came about, this come to you from a Friday night study that we discussed the ministry of Jesus. And so I told you guys I wasn't making it into a sermon because I was just like, wow, like I was just flying and the Lord was revealing more things to me. It's like, you know, I've been preaching for almost like 20 years. And it's like every time you read the word of God, like something else new is like, wow, now it is. And so the ministry of Jesus, what he did, the gospel, they tell us all about it. Now, you see, before Jesus came to earth, we know that the Jewish people were expecting a Messiah. Messiah, the word Messiah means anointed one of God. Or in the Greek, Messiah means Christ. So when we say Jesus Christ, what you're saying is Jesus Messiah. So the Jewish people were expecting a Jewish Messiah. And you know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you read so many prophecies about where the Messiah was going to be born, how he was going to make his huge entrance into the city of Jerusalem, how the Messiah was going to die. I mean, there were so many prophecies about the Messiah. And one of those prophecies was that what he would do, his ministry. And if you have your Bibles, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, informs us what the Messiah will come to do. So that way, in other words, what Isaiah is doing is saying, you want to know who the Messiah is? Whoever appears and start doing these things, he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah also is a prophet who tells us how the Messiah will die. And Solomon, with the meditation today, touched a little bit on that. By his wounds, we are healed. Isaiah is the one who says that. Like he will be crushed for our iniquities. But Isaiah 61 starts with these words in the NIV. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and then to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. So Isaiah, the first two verses of that chapter, Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. There's the word, anointed one of God. He has now, let me give you we do the anointing thing all the time. And let me just paint a picture to you what the anointing really means. You know what you do with the peanut butter and a jelly? You anoint the bread with peanut butter. That's anointing. I know many of you, when you get out of here today, it's like, I'm about to anoint this bread with this butter. Seriously, that's the word means like, You see, no longer it's just a piece of bread. Now you put something on it, it's anointed. So the word says the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. So he's on me now. You got that. So that's what you do. Or you got milk and you pour chocolate milk and you anointed that milk with chocolate now. So it's no longer just milk. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He's on me now. And he has anointed me to do ministry. So to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for captives. To preach good news, the word good news means gospel. To bind up the brokenhearted, the word bind up here means to bring relief. It's almost to bandage. People that their hearts are broken, now this Messiah is going to bring able to act like a nurse, to provide bandage, to provide relief, to preach freedom for captives, to release prisoners from darkness, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That word, the Lord's favor, means jubilee. Jewish people to this day, they celebrate the year of jubilee, which means the year of the Lord's favor. Like God's going to be favorable towards you because of this man, the Messiah, is going to come. So from the get-go, we see what the Messiah is going to be involved in on earth. Now, the word proclaim means to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. And look at all the other things. Bind up the brokenhearted. Preach freedom for captives. Release of prisoners from darkness. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, my friends, if you go back to the gospel of Luke, Jesus went to his hometown in Nazareth. And he was given the scroll of Isaiah. And Isaiah back in those days didn't have chapters and verses like we do today. Jesus himself found where that was written. When he says that he went to Nazareth, he found the scroll. He's in the synagogue teaching. And he read the very passage that I just read to you. And when Jesus finished reading it, he said to the people, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus said to them, what the prophet Isaiah said to you, it's happening right now. I'm here. The Messiah is here. So you want to know what Jesus' ministry was all about? There it is. Proclaim good news to the poor, preaching, bind up the broken heart. I mean, everything is detailed right here by the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, 17 to 21, today that scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm fulfilling the prophecy of the Messiah. In other words, Jesus is saying the Messiah is here. Now we know the short journey that I want to take you through is through the Gospel of Matthew. Because Matthew, when you start reading Matthew 3, Jesus is tempted by Satan. No, Matthew 3, excuse me, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. Then after the baptism, Jesus goes into the wilderness, chapter 4, Matthew, to be tempted by the devil. Remember, he fasted 40 days. So after Jesus overcame temptation, now he goes on to start ministering. And he start preaching. I mean, that's one of the things that we found in Jesus' ministry. He's going to proclaim, preach. What was Jesus' sermon? The first sermon that Jesus Christ preached is recorded in Matthew 4, 17. And you know what the title of that sermon is? Jesus just said, it's like, repent, the kingdom of God is near. Or the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the first sermon that Jesus Christ preached ever. The moment that he was baptized, he was tempted, and now he's engaging in ministry. Remember, in Jewish laws, once you're baptized, usually at 30, now it's almost like the initiation to start ministry. Jesus was baptized when he was 30 years old, and from that moment on, he began to do what he came to do, what he set out to do as the Messiah, to proclaim good news. And he started right there, Matthew. So I hope you got your Bibles right there or your devices, because we're going to just a short journey through the Gospel of Matthew. I know we're going to have all the time, but I won't cover the whole thing. So Matthew 4, 17, Jesus said, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance means change your ways. The kingdom of God is at hand. Then, in the same chapter, Jesus began to invite people to follow him. You know, he's coming, he's the Messiah. He told people, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And now he began to, he saw fishermen, and then he told them, follow me. Come, follow me. Matthew 4, 17, 18. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew, they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. What was Jesus' ministry about? Well, he said, we already know he came to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And in the process, he's calling people to himself now to become his followers, his disciples. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's another ministry of Jesus right here. I will make you. So Jesus is about to train this man to be fishers, not fishers of fish, fishers of men, fishers of people. This the whole training and mentoring ministry of Jesus when he called those people to follow him, because he was going to make him or train him into fishes of men. Inviting people to follow him, and now you're going to follow me. I'm going to train you into catching people. Now check out Jesus' ministry in Matthew 4, 23 and 25. Keep in mind what I said about Isaiah 61. Listen to this one, Matthew 4, 23 and 20, through 25. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan follow him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. He has anointed me to preach the good news. Jesus came around doing what? Preaching and teaching. Somebody asked in the Bible study, isn't that the same thing? No, preaching and teaching is not the same. With preaching, you have teaching, but not every teaching is preaching. Through that preaching, you can teach something, but not every teaching involves preaching. Jesus did both. Giving instruction, also broadcasting, telling people. That's what announcing, that's proclaiming, that's the preaching. So it says Jesus went around preaching the good news. Isn't that what he says in Isaiah? He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, and then to set captives free. And it says that he was healing every disease. He's liberating people from illnesses. That's what the Messiah said that he would come to do. And even says that liberating people from darkness, he says that he cast out demons. So you see, Jesus, in other words, he's doing exactly what Isaiah the prophet in chapter 61 said that the Messiah would do. And Matthew here is giving us a summary of Jesus' ministry. Those suffering from severe pain, Jesus brought healing. Didn't he say that he has anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted? And isn't that what's happening right here in Matthew? So in other words, Jesus is the Messiah. You see the scripture. He's fulfilling everything that Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was even born, said would happen. And now that Jesus is alive, it's happening. The kingdom of God is here. The Messiah is doing what he set out to do. Preaching, teaching, healing, comforting the brokenhearted, releasing people from darkness, from the power of Satan, casting out demons. You see, my friend, this indeed was the year of God's favor. God was favorable toward those that Jesus was ministering to and serving to. You see, Jesus the teacher, Matthew 5, I mean, you read Matthew 5, Matthew 5 through 7 is what we know as the Beatitude, when he said, blessed are the poor in the spirit, blessed are you. I mean, he's teaching, he sat down to teach and the crowds came. And Matthew 5 through 7, it's all Jesus teaching. Some scholars call that the Sermon on the Mount. But it was more teaching that Jesus did over there. He even taught about marriage, adultery, I mean, prayer, fasting, giving to the poor, all kinds of teaching. Then Jesus the healer, there's the references. You go to Matthew 8, 9, and 27, Jesus is healing somebody. That's what the Messiah, it was spoken of, that he will come to do. Then Jesus the exorcist, he's casting out demons. He did that too. He said that he would come to liberate, to set captives free, people being in bondage to the devil, to Satan. And so Jesus liberated them from that dominion. He brought them from the power of darkness to the power of light. The Son of God did that. Jesus, the life giver, that reference in Matthew 9, Jesus actually resurrected somebody from the dead. So he's bringing life to people that need it. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to set captives free, to bring release to prisoners, to announce the year of the Lord's favor. That was Jesus' ministry. Now, you go again in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew again gives us another summary of Jesus' ministry. Matthew 9, verses 15. Excuse me, 35 to 37. Matthew 9, 35 through 37. It says, Jesus went out again through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching. You see, he always make a distinction between teaching and preaching. Jesus went out in all the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is a summary of Jesus. What was he doing? Preaching and teaching, healing, liberating people from diseases and bringing salvation. And then something happens here in verse 36. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Let me suggest something to you. You and I cannot do any ministry until we adopt this idea of compassion. You and I are going to need compassion to be able to do any service in the kingdom of God, because without that, there's no way that we'd be able to succeed. Jesus saw the crowd. Now, the word compassion is another word that makes you laugh when you go into the Greek. You know, we think compassion happens here. Compassion is something happens in your guts. Actually, the word means to move in the inner parts, the inward parts. So it's almost like, you know, when we say like, oh, wow, my tummy is grumbling. Like some, you see the crowd, you see something that just moves you. And that's what happened to Jesus. He said he saw the crowds and he had compassion. Something within Jesus, something inside of Jesus moved because the condition of the crowd. And you know, that's why sometimes you say, I want to help that person, because something within me is telling me. That's the whole idea of being compassionate, because something inside of you moves. Like, you know what, my heart, we say like this, my heart goes out to you. But even the word heart, cardia, it's like from within. It's almost like in the gut. Something just like, man, I got to do something about it. And Jesus, this is what happened when he saw the crowds. He said he had compassion on them. He felt compassion because they were harassed. He saw them helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And it's like something moved within Jesus. Let me ask you, whatever ministry you are involved, what causes you to move from within, to act upon something, to say, you know what, Jesus, God's calling me to do this, and I had to do it because I just feel it right here, man. We're going to need to be compassionate. God is the God of compassion. And Jesus right here, he saw the crowd. He saw the condition in which they were living. It's like it just broke him from within. He had compassion. And then he said to his disciples, because of the condition of the crowds, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. I love this passage because Jesus now is saying, gang, there's a lot to be done. Remember, he started the ministry and he got 12 of the apostles, now 13 people doing ministry, preaching and teaching. And the crowds are coming to Jesus, the people with needs. And, you know, and his heart is going out to the crowds. And he says, the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of work to be done, but we only have a few workers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Pray to God that he will send more people to have the compassion, the passion to go out and help those who are in need. Pray to God to give you more workers into his harvest, because the job to be done is a lot. It's a lot that still needs to be done, but we only have a few workers, Jesus is saying to them. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. I love that phrase because, again, keep in mind, Jesus said to send out workers, to get more workers so that they also can be sent out into his harvest to do the work that Jesus was already doing. There's a lot of work to be done, he said, but only a few workers. But pray to God to bring out more workers to do that. And now what happens in the next chapter, chapter 10? Remember, Jesus just said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And what happens in chapter 10 of Matthew? Look at what Jesus said. He called out the 12 disciples to him and gave him authority to drive out demons, to drive out evil spirits, and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the name of the 12 apostles. So what is Jesus doing now? Another area of his ministry. He already said there's a lot of work to be done. And Jesus is only by himself, 12 apostles. He now empowered them to do exactly what he was doing. Did you catch that? He empowered them to authorize them to cast out demons. Wasn't Jesus doing that already? To heal every disease. The disciples, the apostles are going to be empowered to do exactly the very thing that Jesus was doing. And even preach. Let me take you now, chapter 10, verse 7. This is Jesus giving them instructions. As you go, preach this message. What message? The same one. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So what is Jesus doing in terms of his ministry? He empowered them now to do exactly the same thing he was doing. Why? Because he said the workers are few. The job to be done is enormous. And we only have a few workers. And now he's empowering the apostles to do exactly the very thing that Jesus Christ did. To preach, to heal, to cast out demons. Just like the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he has anointed me, and now I'm anointing you. Now I'm empowering you to do exactly what I've been doing. Because we got to ask the Lord to send out more workers into his harvest. And there it is, Jesus is now empowering the apostles. When somebody gives you the authority to do something, I mean, you've already been empowered. If the president gives you an authority to go to the White House without asking anybody permission, you've been empowered. If the Lord already said you're empowered to heal people, you have been empowered. He said, at one time, he said, all authority has been given to me, and now I'm just releasing that authority to you to go heal, liberate people from darkness, comfort those who are mourning. I mean, now, whatever I'm doing, you go ahead and do it as well. Jesus, is, in other words, he's multiplying himself through 12 men to go and do that. Go preach this gospel. The kingdom of God is near. And then, in verse 16, he warns them. Verse 16 of Matthew 10, Jesus gives them some warning. He said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. When you read that, so it's like, behold, I sent you out like sheep in the midst of wolves to be, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Be aware of men. They will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in the synagogue. He said, you're going to be doing this ministry that I'm doing. You're going to be liberating people, but guess what? Ministry is going to be messy. People might not like you because you're preaching, you're representing God. They might throw you into prison. They're going to scourge you. It's like, be aware. So it's like, yes, the work to be done is a lot, and it's not going to be easy. Jesus is telling them. So I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Not everybody's going to agree with your message. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Maybe that's why the workers are few. Nobody wants to deal with it, you know. So ask the Lord to send out workers into his harvest field. So he warns them what might happen. Jesus empowered his people to do ministry, to do exactly the same, to preach the same message, to heal the sick, raise the dead, drive out demons, proclaim freedom to captives. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus is saying, this did not cost you anything. So this is a great good news. Give it to other people. Freely you have received, freely give. It's almost like you have been shown grace. Show grace to other people as well. It's like, and that's what the disciples, the apostles were doing. So Jesus preached, taught, healed, cast out demons. He empowered his people now to do ministry, to help him out with what he was doing. He sent them out to serve the same way that he was already serving. I love Jesus, again, based on the text in Isaiah 61. He preached the good news to the poor. He taught. He healed. He drove out evil spirits. He empowered his disciples to do the same. Now he unleashed them. He released them to go. So in other words, more workers are already being sent into the harvest field. Jesus already did that in chapter 10. Their prayers already being answered. Ask the Lord to send out more workers into the harvest field, and he's doing it. He empowered the apostles to go and preach. Do the same thing he was doing. Then, my friends, later on when you read in chapter 26, so all the way from chapter 10 to chapter 26 of Matthew, it's the same thing. Jesus preaching, teaching, the apostles doing the same thing. The apostles are empowered. One time they come back to the Lord because they say, Lord, isn't that amazing? Even the evil spirits, they're subjected to us because you guys being empowered, ready to do that. And Jesus tells them, don't rejoice so much about that, but rejoice that your names are found in the book of life. But they were like, man, this is amazing. God gave us the power. We're healing people. We're doing things. Even the evil spirits. And like, this is amazing. We have a revival, Lord. And the Lord said, yes, yes. I mean, I empower you to do that. But rejoice more that your names are found in the Lamb's book of life. So that's more important than you just casting out demons, Jesus is saying to them. But you see, the apostles were so joyous because Jesus gave him the authority to do exactly what he was doing. But then, in chapter 26 of Matthew, Jesus said that his ministry would come to an end. You know, my friends, some of us sometimes we struggle with this, that we start ministry and we think that we're going to be doing it forever. Every ministry comes to an end sometimes. And Jesus' ministry on earth also came to an end. He said it in chapter 26 when he says, they will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. When he told Peter in chapter 16, you know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me, crucify, and, you know, but I'll be back. They was like, no, we want to continue doing this thing. So what Jesus communicated to the apostles did not go with what the expectations that they had. So Jesus said, my ministry, preaching and teaching and doing those things, will come to an end. And then he's going to now empower the apostles to continue doing the same thing Jesus did. But Jesus would not go with them physically. But they didn't like that. So he mentions that in chapter 26 of Matthew 31 and 32. Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. He already telling them the expectation. After the resurrection, I'm going to meet you in Galilee, and I'm going to give you my final instructions. The disciples did not hear anything that Jesus said, because it's like, what? You're going to be killed? No. Remember, Peter said, never. They were not getting it. But Jesus said that what I've been doing, teaching and healing, my ministry is going to end. But you guys will continue. And sometimes, you know, every ministry that we, you know, churches go through that. Sometimes you used to do a ministry, but for whatever reason, that ends up not happening. And so Jesus had the example right here that not every ministry is going to be there forever. Not even our preaching ministry. One day, believe it or not, we won't have to preach to people. Looking forward to that day. That, you know, when Jesus comes back, you and I won't have to pray or preach. Or the only thing that we're going to continue going forever is fellowshipping and enjoying, you know, and worship, you know. But some of the things that we do, like Bible study, telling people to read, and they don't want, one day we won't have to tell that anymore. So Jesus tells the disciples, what I've been doing with you is going to come to an end. You know, like every good thing sometimes, sadly, you know, even our families, we know that that's the reality of everything we do in this life. You know, it comes to an end. The disciples, they're devastated. And then Jesus died, and what happens to the disciples? Just like he said, they scatter. They don't even want to come out. I mean, this fear, like the people that God empowered, I mean, didn't we talk that God empowered them to do ministry? Now they're hiding for fear of the Jews. And then Jesus had to appear to them and said, I'm alive. And then Jesus said to them the final instructions in mentoring them and training. Jesus told them in Matthew 28:16 through 20. You see, after the resurrection, Jesus gave his disciples his final words, his final instructions. And he commissioned them to make more disciples now. Go and make disciples of all nations, he said. That was after the resurrection. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them. Listen again. Teaching them. That's what he's been doing. To obey everything that I have commanded you. And I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I'm going to go with you Not physically, but spiritually now. So when you look at the ministry of Jesus, my friends, and the ministry of the apostles, what do you think the ministry of the church is? It's very much an extension of what Jesus and the apostles did. The Bible said that the church was birthed by the preaching of the apostles. Those apostles that Jesus commissioned, go and make disciples, they started a revolution in the book of Acts, telling people about Jesus. That Jesus whom you killed, whom you crucified, God rose him from the dead. And salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to man by whom we are saved. And they began to preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God to people. And more people were coming to Jesus. One time Peter preached, and there was 3,000 people that became believers. Those who believed his message were baptized and added to the number. And the church was birthed. And the church was doing the same thing that Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He preached, he taught, he healed, he restored, and the apostles were doing the same. At one time, you read in the Bible that even the shadow of Peter, there were people there laying sick, that Peter would walk, the shadow of Peter would just make him walk. Jesus just unleashed those people, man, to do exactly what he did. That's the church operating by the power of the Spirit, because Jesus said, go and make disciples, multiply yourselves, and do very much what I've been doing. The church was birthed at the preaching of the apostles. So when you think about what is the church ministry, the same thing that Jesus' ministry was, preaching and teaching, liberating people from darkness to the power of light, showing compassion to those who need. The church has been empowered by Jesus to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to teach other people about the kingdom of God, to bring healing to those who need it, to liberate people from the power of the devil. I mean, you know, churches, I mean, that the preachers that God has used to cast out demons. Perhaps you haven't seen that around here, and please don't go into the movies, because the movies, you know, but I've seen it happen. God has empowered certain people to have that gift to cast out demons, because we all been empowered with different gifts to build up God's kingdom. The same ministry Jesus had, he gave to the apostles. The apostles initiated the church. And what do you think our ministry is? Preaching and teaching, liberating, show compassion to people. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. To show compassion to the helpless, to the helpless world out there, to restore brokenhearted, to reconcile the world back to God. That's our job, church, to announce the year of God's favor. You know, we tell people, God is favorable towards you. The only thing is that you need Jesus. Amen. God's looking at you with favor. We got to tell the world that. We got to announce it. We truly believe this is good news. Do not keep it to yourself. I mean, I don't know about you, but when you got something great happening in your house, you put it on Facebook. And it's like, hey, you tell everybody, hey, this is happening to me. I just got a promotion. Hey, if we truly believe that people can be restored and lives can be changed by the power of the gospel, why do you want to keep it to yourself? Freely you have received, freely give. You, church, has been called, empowered, released to ministry in this world. And I want to finish with a quote from the Lord of the Rings. Because, you know, I always go back to that. Remember when Frodo was really, like, disheartened. He didn't know if he can proceed with the journey to bring the ring to the mountain. And at one time, he thinks, I cannot go on. You know, many of us perhaps have been there, like, I don't know if I can do this. All of us, you know. And then this elf lady said to him, this task has been appointed to you, Frodo of the Shires. And if you do not find a way, no one will. This task of Jesus' ministry, the apostles, to be called, empowered, and released into the ministry has been appointed to all of us, church. And if we do not find a way to fulfill that mission, no one else will. Empowered, unleashed to change the world for Jesus. That's our job. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for guiding us and helping us. Lord, thank you for showing us through your word that we all been empowered. We all been called to do your ministry. And we all have different personalities and gifts, Lord. And you work through us, through the giftedness that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. May we take our job seriously. There's a there is a lot of people that feel helpless out there. May we show them hope. May we bring restoration to their lives, to their marriages, to their relationship. Lord, you have called us to be agents of reconciliation, to do the same thing that your apostles and you, Jesus, did. You're not going to send angels and prophets anymore. It's us, your church, disciples who make disciples, who tell others that God wants to be favorable towards them, that God wants to show them grace, but they need to come to Jesus. Lord, guide us, and we know that you will always provide the opportunities for us to represent you well in this life. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you in any capacity. Lord, may we take our ministry, our service seriously to represent you and do the things you have called us to be. Thank you for the power of the Spirit that's within us. Now, as we go from this place, we're already being unleashed into the world to make the world a better place for you, so that the world can be reconciled to you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. It is in your name that I pray. Amen.